There is one undeniable aspect that I enjoy about the Lutheran Church of our Redeemer in gathering in worship to a holy God. While it might not happen every week, spontaneously and semi-regularly as a church, you are not afraid to laugh out loud in worship. There are some who might think it unholy or undignified to laugh in church. In fact, I recall once being told, "Pastor, we smile as loud as we can in church." This third Sunday of Advent is traditionally known as Gaudete Sunday. It's from the Latin verb to rejoice. This is Joy Sunday. The opening line from our second lesson of Paul's imperatives in 1 Thessalonians captures the spirit of today. Rejoice always. And in our first reading, the situation of Israel after their return from exile in the country is such that things had not gone as smoothly as planned. Perhaps you might recall the Christmas carol, O Come, Emmanuel. And one line of that carol is, "Ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here." It's the prophet Isaiah who refuses to let the people wallow in discouragement of their exile. Rather, the prophet's calling is to bring, he says, glad tidings to the lowly, and regards it as a source of great joy, saying, "I rejoice heartily in the Lord. In my God is the joy of my soul." Throughout the Old Testament, there are many occasions for joy. A marriage, the birth of a child, recovery from sickness, the defeat of enemies. But the greatest and most profound source of joy in the Old Testament is when God acts on behalf of God's people. The acknowledgement is that God is working in the world and in people's lives, and that we are not solely left to our own devices. And this is the center of the prophet's joy. When God acts in the Psalms, in Psalm 127, the psalmist says, "Our mouths filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy." Unemployment, scandal, faithlessness, hunger, homelessness, financial collapse, illness, or cancer. You don't need to be made too well. You already know the realities of life. So just put on a bigger smile. Grin and bear it, right? Don't worry, be happy. Well, not really. See, there's a difference between being happy and being joyful. One can be joyful even amongst difficult circumstances. I once asked a poet, "Can you recommend any good poetry about joy and rejoicing, perhaps even among difficult circumstances or long suffering?" And the poet's response was, "What other kind of joy and rejoicing is there?" When we are told that the impossible is about to happen, we will likely laugh at that notion. And that's what happened to Abraham and Sarah. In the Old Testament, Abraham and Sarah are old in age when they're told that they're going to bear a child. And when they do give birth to a son, they name him Isaac, which in the Hebrew literally means God laughed. And Zechariah and Elizabeth are old in age when they're told they'll give birth to a son who will be named John. And Zechariah laughs. John, who will prepare the way for the Lord, a laughable figure who testifies to Christ. perhaps the greatest poet about difficult circumstances and having joy in those circumstances is Mary in her Magnificat. Here's a woman who's unmarried, traveling in a foreign country, perhaps by foot, in the latter stages of pregnancy, when she sings out in beautiful poetry to Elizabeth, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant." But it's not every morning that we can feel like breaking out in song. Sometimes we wonder if anybody's listening. We wonder if we'll hear any news about health for a friend, for peace, for freedom, from comfort, from sadness, for justice, or if our hopes will ever be realized. And Advent is this time of waiting. Theologian Henry Nouwen provides this definition of a waiting person as being a patient person, he says. And the word patience is defined as a willingness to stay where we are and live into the fullest our current situation, in the belief that something hidden will manifest itself. Impatient people want to be someplace else. They expect the real thing to happen someplace else. They're impatient people. For impatient people, the current moment is empty. But patient people dare to stay where they are. Patience means living actively into the present and waiting there in hope. Patience is pregnant with the joy of hope. For John the Baptist and Mary, their joy is on what God has done and God will do. They wait in hope for God to act. John says, "I must decrease so that Christ may increase." We do not need to be messiahs, but we point to the Messiah, ridding ourselves of this Messiah complex of needing to save the world. Instead, we point ourselves and others to Christ. And we can begin to see the joyful work that God is to accomplish. We rejoice that the work is not ours to accomplish, but the preparation and salvation rest on God's shoulders. It's in Alice in Wonderland that Alice falls through a rabbit hole into Wonderland. She's convinced that she'd fallen right through the earth and was destined to come out where the other people of the earth would be upside down. She refers to this reversal of falling through the hole as antithepes, and she wondered if it was the right word. Indeed, Alice invented the word antithepes, but it can talk about how we can feel at time with the world's upside down. When Alice finally lands, Alice realizes that the world was not upside down, but was out of proportion to her size. Alice had to change to get smaller to enter into that mysterious world. This third Sunday of Advent invites us into a world of reversals. Antithepes, where the captives are freed, where the hungry are filled with good things, where the rich are sent away empty. It's a world to rejoice in hope amidst despair of sinful world, illness and pain, of financial collapse of the cross. For it's God's transformative work in our Advent hope and waiting that we remember, like captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile, who were dispossessed in chains, people who needed a message of hope, a promise of some kind of reversal. God doesn't want to make us unhappy by turning our world upside down. Rather, God brings about the potential of a new world of transformation. And as we enter into the new world that lies before us, we wait for Christmas, We undergo God's transformation from despair to hope, from sadness to joy. In the second lesson, the Apostle Paul is conscious of this need for transformation. He prays that God's Spirit not be quenched. Advent is this time to search our hearts, to discover where we individually and as a community need to be transformed. This time of expectation, patient waiting, ready to heal our brokenness, heal our families, heal our bodies, heal our world. Paul tells us that the Messiah is coming. John tells us that the Messiah is in our midst. Mary tells us that with the Messiah, nothing is impossible. So tell God your plans. You might just make God laugh.